At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. South China Sea, the Paracel Islands, USS Benfold, sailing by the Paracels, has elicited this response from the People's Republic of China most recently. The PLA's Southern Theater Command organized sea and air forces to follow, monitor, warn, and drive away the USS Benfold. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're joined by our colleague, Captain James Fennell, U.S. Navy captain, retired, now a fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. Jim, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The PLA's Navy successfully drove away the USS Benfold. What science fiction story is this? Good evening to you, Captain.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on. Clearly, this is just the typical rhetoric that we see from PRC press that's designed for their own population to pump up their own nationalism. But there's no chance that a single Chinese frigate drove away the destroyer Benfold. The Benfold was on a freedom of navigations operation, as you noted, around the Paracels. And so in that process of that operation, which is a designed operation that's planned ahead of time, approved by the U.S. Pacific Fleet in accordance with the State Department's directives, for the Freedom of Navigation program, they transit through certain areas where nations have excessive baseline claims. And that's what the Benfold was doing in the Paracels, where the Chinese have excessive claims that violate not just international law, but I think specifically Vietnam's national claims as well. So our ships transit through these areas, and they do it routinely, and nobody chases them away. So it's a pure lie from PRC propaganda.
Detail, Gordon, is this the sort of rhetoric the Chinese population gets all the time about all these victories by the PLA Navy against foreign powers? Are they always announcing another victory such as the Benfold?
Yes, John, as Jim just mentioned, rhetoric like this from Beijing is typical, that they drive away the Navy from this place and from that place. And it will continue until the Navy starts to engage in public relations of its own.
You have a question for the captain.
Jim, right now, we've just passed the sixth anniversary of the arbitration decision in Philippines versus China. China does not accept the decision that undermined China's claims to 85% of the South China Sea. But we do see increased Chinese activity around Second Thomas Shoal of the Philippines, and indeed Chinese activity throughout the South China Sea seems to be on an uptick. What should the U.S. be doing with regard to this increased Chinese activity?
I think we need to be more active in the region. Right now, along with the Benfold's Freedom of Navigation operations, the USS Ronald Reagan Carrier Strike Group is operating in the South China Sea in what they call maritime security operations or presence operations that they used to call in the Trump administration. But it's the idea that we don't just have vessels that are operating in freedom of navigation operations evolutions, but we're also operating in the larger area of the South China Sea, which directly challenges China's claim that the entirety of the South China Sea is their territorial water. And so I think we need to do a lot more of that, but we need to be a lot more vocal about that this is international water or the high seas, and that don't belong to anybody. They belong to every nation that has access to the coastal or to the oceans. And so I was very happy to see yesterday that our Secretary of State actually reaffirmed the Trump administration's 13 July 2020 policy statement that reaffirmed our alignment with the arbitration ruling from 2016 that said that China has no claim to this so-called nine-dash line. And so I think We have a legal, there's a lawfare aspect to this, which is what the FON program does. We have an information warfare aspect to this, which is what I think, having the Secretary of State, both of the previous administration and this administration, making these statements. We have a military aspect to this, which is our operations there. And then I think there's a third or a fourth part, which is to we're operating with our allies. And so we actually have right now, I think there's an Australian submarine, HMAS Collins is also operating in the South China Sea right now. We've had the Japanese and other allied nations operating there. So we just got to keep the pressure on. But the area that it continues to bother me is that in order to keep the pressure in the South China Sea and in the East China Sea and off the Korean Peninsula and now in the South Pacific, where China is operating and engaging more often, we need more resources and we need more assets. And this is something that the Congress and this administration should be doing everything in their power to increase more ship production, revitalizing ships that we may have put in mothball, and really getting after having more presence, because the more platforms and presence that we can put into the region challenges the Chinese capacity to be everywhere all the time.
Jim, you served as Director of Intelligence and Information Operations, U.S. Pacific Fleet. So you have institutional memory. Is there a date we can say when the PLA Navy decided it was going to boast of its victories and put out these this rhetoric that is nonsensical? Did that happen under Hu Jintao, the previous boss, or is this all Xi's thinking?
I think the rhetoric, probably started under Xi. The date that sticks in my mind is October 2015. And up till that period, the Chinese had not really said that they were going to monitor and shadow every foreign military that entered the South China Sea. And in October of 2015, the USS Lawson did a freedom of navigation operations like the Benfold has just done. And it was in that time that the Chinese went from playing what I called a zone defense to a man-to-man defense. And up before 2015 and all in the years that I served, the Chinese wouldn't always react to every foreign warship, especially the Americans, because we're the most always there. They wouldn't react to every one. But after October of 2015, every foreign warship that's entered the South China Sea, the Chinese have monitored, followed, and given these verbal warnings to, saying you have entered illegally our territorial waters and you can't be here unless you ask our permission. And they have shadowed either with warships or with aircraft. And so I think that's the time period that's the most significant is 2015. And that's clearly when Xi, 2 years into power at that point.
Gordon, you have a question. We have a couple of minutes.
Jim, RIMPAC, the largest naval exercises are now ongoing between the U.S. Navy and our partners. The U.S. Navy has said that RIMPAC is not directed against any particular nation state actor, yet it does seem to be focused on defending Taiwan. Can you comment on the Navy's rhetoric here?
Yeah, I think we're once again, Gordon, unfortunately, back into the Obama era where we have U.S. military and especially naval leaders who are seemingly afraid to speak the truth about what we're doing. In the Obama regime and era, those 8 years, it was an unwritten policy of we will not provoke China. We will not speak derogatory of China. We won't say the truth about what's going on. And we, in fact, even invited China to the 2012, 2014, and 2016 RIMPACs. They didn't attend the 2012. They sent a spy ship. They sent a spy ship again in 2016 and 2014. So we have Navy admirals now that are saying that, this is about climate change and all these other kinds of things.
We have 30 seconds, Jim. Go ahead.
Roger that. We have, talking about disaster relief, yet when we had a disaster in Tonga in February, we didn't do anything. So I think it rings hollow, and it really is a shame that we didn't invite Taiwan to participate in this RIMPAC.
James Fennell, Jim Fennell, government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, is a U.S. Navy captain, retired, served as Director of Intelligence Information Operations, Pacific Fleet, U.S. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bashler.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.